Boldly go.
So tell me, Comrade Colonel, how did it really feel?
The Comrade Colonel laughs uneasily. He's 43 and still slim and boyish-looking, but carries a quiet melancholy around with him like his own personal storm cloud.
I was very busy all the time, he says with a self-deprecating little shrug. I didn't have time to pay attention to myself. One orbit, it only lasted 90 minutes. What did you expect? If you really want to know, German's the man to ask. He had more time.
Time! His interrogator sighs and leans his chair back on two legs. It's a horribly cold, rather precious Queen Anne original, a gift to some czar or other, many years before the October Revolution.
What a joke! 90 minutes, 2 days, that's all we got before they changed the rules on us.
They, Comrade Chairman? The Colonel looked puzzled.
Whoever.
The Chairman's vague wave takes in half the horizon of the richly paneled Kremlin office.
What a joke! Whoever they were, at least they saved us from a pasting in Cuba because of that louse Nikita.
He pauses for a moment, then toys with the wine glass that sits, half-empty, before him. The Colonel has a glass, too, but his is full of grape juice, out of consideration for his past difficulties.
The whoever I speak of are, of course, the brother socialists from the stars who brought us here.
He grins humorlessly, face creasing like the muzzle of a shark that smells blood in the water.
Brother socialists.
The Colonel smiles hesitantly, wondering if it's a joke, and if so, whether he's allowed to share it. He's still unsure why he's being interviewed by the Premier, in his private office at that.
Do we know anything of them, sir? That is, am I supposed to...
Never mind. Alexei sniffs, dismissing the Colonel's worries.
Yes, you're clear to know everything on this topic. The trouble is there is nothing to know. And this troubles me, Yuri Alexeyevich. We infer purpose, the engine of a greater history at work, but the dialectic is silent on this matter. I have consulted the experts, asked them to read the chicken entrails, but none of them can do anything other than parrot pre-event dogma. Any species advanced enough to do to us what happened that day must of course have evolved true communism, Comrade Premier. Look what they did for us. That was Shlovsky, by the way. And yes, I look and I see six cities that nobody can live in, spaceships that refuse to stick to the sky, and a landscape that Sakharov and that bunch of double domes are at a loss to explain. There are fucking miracles and wonders and portents in the sky, like a galaxy we were supposed to be part of that is now a million years too old and shows extensive signs of construction. There's no room for miracles and wonders in our rational world, and it's giving the Comrade General Secretary, Yuri, the Comrade General Secretary, stomach ulcers. Did you know that?
The Colonel sits up straight, anticipating the punchline. It's a well-known fact throughout the USSR that when Brezhnev says, frog, the Premier croaks. And here he is in the Premier's office, watching that very man, Alexei Kosygin, chairman of the Council of Ministers, third most powerful man in the Soviet Union, taking a deep breath.
Yuri Alexeyevich, I have brought you here today because I want you to help set Leonid Ilyich's stomach at rest. You're an aviator and a hero of the Soviet Union. And more importantly, you're smart enough to do the job and young enough to see it through. Not like the old farts cluttering up Stavka. It's going to take most of a lifetime to sort out, you mark my words. You're also, you will pardon the bluntness, about as much use as a fifth wheel in your current posting right now. We have to face facts, and the said reality is that none of Korolev's birds will ever fly again, not even with the atomic bomb pusher thing they've been working on.
Kosygin sighs and shuffles upright in his chair.
There is simply no point in maintaining the Cosmonaut Training Center. A decree has been drafted and will be approved next week. The manned rocket program is going to be wound up and the Cosmonaut Corps reassigned to other duties.
The Colonel flinches.
Is that absolutely necessary, Comrade Chairman?
Kosygin drains his wine glass, decides to ignore the implied criticism.
We don't have the resources to waste, but, Yuri Alexeyevich, all that training is not lost.
He grins wolfishly.
I have new worlds for you to explore, and a new ship for you to do it in.
A new ship? The Colonel nods, then does a double take, Punch drunk.
A ship?
Well, it isn't a fucking horse, says Kosygin. He slides a big glossy photograph across his blotter toward the colonel.
Times have moved on.
The colonel blinks in confusion as he tries to make sense of the thing at the center of the photograph. The premier watches his face, secretly amused. Confusion is everybody's first reaction to the thing in the photograph.
I'm not sure I understand, sir.
It's quite simple. You train to explore new worlds. You can't, not using the rockets. The rockets won't ever make orbit. I've had astronomers having nervous breakdowns trying to explain why, but they all agree on the key point. Rockets won't do it for us here. Something wrong with the gravity. They say it even crushes falling starlight.
The chairman taps a fat finger on the photograph.
But you can do it using this. We invented it, and the bloody Americans didn't. It's called an Ekranoplan, and you rocket boys are going to stop being grounded cosmonauts and learn how to fly it. What do you think, Colonel Gagarin?
The colonel whistles tunelessly through his teeth. He's finally worked out the scale. It looks like a flying boat with clipped wings, jet engines clustered by the sides of its cockpit. But no flying boat ever carried a runway with a brace of MiG-21s on its back.
It's bigger than a cruiser. Is it nuclear-powered?
Of course. The chairman's grin slips. It cost as much as those moon rockets of Sergei's, Colonel General. Try not to drop it.
Gagarin glances up, surprise and awe visible on his face.
Sir, I'm honored, but...
Don't be, the chairman cuts him off. The promotion was coming your way anyway. The posting that comes with it will earn you as much honor as that first orbit. A second chance at space, if you like. But you can't fail. The cost is unthinkable. It's not your skin that will pay the toll. It's our entire rationalist civilization.
Kosygin leans forward intently.
Somewhere out there are beings so advanced that they skinned the Earth like a grape and plated it onto this disk. Or worse, copied us all right down to the atomic level and duplicated us like one of those American Xerox machines. It's not just us, though. You are aware of the other continents in the oceans. We think some of them may be inhabited, too. Nothing else makes sense. Your task is to take the Sergei Korolev, the first ship of its class, on an historic 5-year cruise. You will boldly go where no Soviet man has gone before, explore new worlds and look for new peoples, and establish fraternal socialist relations with them. But your primary objective is to discover who built this giant mousetrap of a world, and why they brought us to it, and to report back to us before the Americans find out.